evening, everybody. So welcome to, I guess, the post-Pesach Zman from the Rabbi's desk. So what we're going to do tonight is, as we always do, post three shailas that came up recently. And you'll tell me which one you'd like to talk about, and we will talk about that one, Be'ezras Hashem. So let's get started. So the first shaila that I got was over Yontif, over Chol HaMoed. Someone had sent me the following. A friend of mine who runs a business, and he said, someone is lending me money. I think it means for his business. He says, money is being paid back over 5 years, just principal, which is what you're supposed to do. If you're a Jew and borrowing or lending money, you pay back just principal. Payments back are from months 13 to 60. However, starting year one, he is stipulating that I need to give the equivalent of approximately 5% interest written to a tzedakah we agreed to. Tzedakah will be getting the money from me. They will have no knowledge of the loan. They don't even know that he's part of the discussion. So the tzedakah is getting a 5% payment from this guy. He wants to know, is this a problem of ribbis? That is shaila number one. Shaila number two. A family from Ashul went to Israel for Pesach. They are among the rare breed of people that not only ask a shaila about Yom Tov Sheni when they're in Israel, they even ask the same rabbi that they ask the rest of their shaylas to about Yom Tov Sheni. So long story short, they're keeping Yom Tov Sheni, right? They're keeping 2 days Yantiv while they're in Israel, while they're staying at a hotel in Israel for Yantiv. So good. So that they had no sveikos about. They were definitely going to do that. But it occurred to the woman, it was the first days of Yantiv. It was a 3-day Yantiv. Now, nobody here is a woman, maybe someone on the Zoom, but if you're a woman, for many women at least, going 3 days without being able to put on makeup is, I wouldn't say traumatic, but it's not kishmak. And she realized that on that second day, on Friday, for the Israelis, it's not Yom Tov. So she wanted to know, can she have an Israeli makeup artist put makeup on her on Yom Tov Sheni, right? And she's the one that's doing the putting the makeup on. It's just happening on her face. So she wanted to know if she's allowed, meaning it's happening on the Bas Chutzla or it's his face. So she wanted to know if there's any Isser in doing that. That is Shaila number two. Shaila number three. A fellow in my shul came over to me a couple of days ago and he told me that he found a bird's nest on his front porch. Wonderful. Okay, so he's going to do the Mitzvah Shalach Khan. He wanted to know if I'm interested in coming one night. You're supposed to go at night because the male often hovers over the eggs during the daytime. So much better to do the Mitzvah at night. Just a good idea to have because you don't want to have to sit there doing a biological exam on the bird. So that's the easier way to tell whether it's a male or female. So it's got to be a kosher bird. He knew it was a kosher bird and it was all set. And he asked me if I want to come. So I said, well, have you done the mitzvah? He said, I've done it in the past, so I don't need, I'd rather give you the opportunity. So I said, I've also done it in the past. I've been privileged to be able to do the mitzvah. So he said, do you know anyone who can really use an opportunity to do the mitzvah Shulach Khan? So what's the school of the Shulach Khan? Arichas Yamim. It's in the Torah. The Torah actually says it, right, that you get Arichas Yamim. So I have a friend who has cancer. Young man in his 40s with young children, and he has cancer. So I told this fellow, maybe offer it to him. And he said, that's a great idea. I didn't think of it. It's a great idea. So about an hour later, I got a text from this friend with cancer, and it reads as follows. Hi, Rabbi Leibowitz, I hope you're doing well. I have a halachic conundrum. So-and-so offered me the rare opportunity to be able to perform the mitzvah of Shulach HaKan. I graciously accepted and made arrangements to do it tonight. I subsequently mentioned this to my mother, thinking she would be happy for me to be able to have this opportunity to perform this mitzvah that promises Arichas Yamim. However, she was clearly not as enthused, and in fact, perturbed, as she feels, like many others, that it would be cruel to handle the eggs, even if there's a slight chance that the mother will not return to her nest and to her eggs. She didn't tell me outright not to do it, but she's visibly upset about the prospect of me doing it. Now, there's only one other mitzvah in the Torah that has school of Arichas Yamim, and that is Kibbutz Avein. So he wants to know, which one do I do? What would be the proper course of action over here? So again, shaila number one, ribis to a third party. Shaila number two, to a third party charity. Shaila number two, make up on the second day of Yontif through a Bas Eretz Yisrael. And shaila number three, long life for long life, right? Kibra ve'im or shiluach ha'kan. So people on Zoom are already voting. They're getting early voting in. All those who would like to talk about shaila number one, okay, one ribis fan over here, good. All those who want to talk about shaila number two, oh, shaila number three? Okay, it's always the best story that wins. Okay. The other two are good shiurim, I promise. But, all right, so let's get... Oh, that we didn't even check the Zoom, but it was very overwhelming in person. And it's pretty... Oh, Zoom, yeah, it's pretty overwhelming on Zoom also. Okay, we got a couple of more ribbous people on Zoom. We'll make out a 10-minute halacha next week. We know that. Okay. All right, so let's discuss this. So in order to answer this question, we need to clarify three things. First of all, is this really a mitzvah of shiluach hakan? Meaning, the guy finds a nest on his porch, is that necessarily a mitzvah of shiluach hakan? Maybe if you don't want the eggs, I have no interest in keeping those eggs, so is there a mitzvah if you're not going to take the eggs? Part of what the pasuk says is that you take the baby. So if you're not interested in taking the baby, is there even a mitzvah? Or maybe the fact that it's on somebody else's property makes it that it's not a mitzvah. Then on the other side of it, you have to ask yourself, is this really a mitzvah of kibud aveim, to listen to your parents? Why would it not be a mitzvah of kibud aveim in this case? So it's telling you not to do a mitzvah against the Torah, right? We're potentially telling you not to do a mitzvah, depending on the first one. And this is not nogea to the parent whatsoever. Right? It doesn't, it doesn't affect the parent's life whatsoever. Now, assuming that the answer to the first two questions is yes and yes, that it is a mitzvah of shiluach hakan, it is a mitzvah of kibud aveim, so then what do we do to reconcile the contradiction? And is there anything that could be done to mitigate to be efshar l'kayim shnehem in any way? So let's start with the first part. Is this a mitzvah shiluach hakan? So the Torah in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei tells us that ki yikra kan sipur lefnecha bederech b'chol eitz o ala aretz efrochem o beitzim, that you find a nest and there are either little baby chicks or eggs. V'ha'im rovetzas al efrochim, and the mother is hovering over the chicks. Oala beitzim lo tikach ha'im al habanim shalech teshalach ha'im v'as habanim tikach lach manitav lach v'arach teyamim, that you should send away the mother bird, you keep the and you should then take the babies, and that will be good for you v'arach teyamim. So you have a mitzvah shalach kan, promises long life. And it happens to be the entire 12th parak of Masechet Chulin, the last parak of Masechet Chulin, is called Parak Shiluach HaKan. It's all dedicated to this, to the details of this mitzvah. There's an entire siman in Shulchan Aruch, Yardeya Siman Reish Sadi Beis, dedicated to this mitzvah. And it happens to be the Gilyan Marsha on Yardeya over there quotes a medrash that in addition to the Torah's promise of Arichus Yamim, Gilyan Marsha, anyone know who wrote the Gilyan Marsha? Rav Shlomo Eger, not the Marsha, right? Rav Shlomo Eger. So the Gilyan Marsha writes, "Bischar mitzvah zu adam zocha lebanim." It's also a great skula for someone who doesn't have children to be able to have children. So you keep that in your back pocket also, in case you want to know of a skula that's based in Chazal. Not like a lot of times people make skulas just out of whatever. But when you have skulas that actually come from the Torah itself or come from Chazal, so those are pretty good. So you want to you may want to keep that in mind. So he also quotes Sefer Achinuch that Abanim Tikach Lach Ratzalomar Lenafshecha, that it's for your own benefit. When you do this mitzvah, you are benefiting, and because we have these unprecedented brachos in doing this mitzvah. So first thing was, did the mom have a point at all? Was the mom right, or is she just not thinking from a Torah perspective whatsoever? So the bird, first of all, on a certain level, she does not have a point. Meaning, even on a metzius level, meaning her concern is that you're going to send away the mother and the mother's not going to come back. Why do they say the mother doesn't come back? Because once it's been handled by human hands, then the mother loses interest in her eggs and she won't come back. Google it. That is not true. That's simply not true. The mother almost always comes back, and the reason is that the sense of smell that the mother has is not developed enough to know whether it's been handled by human hands. So the mother does come back. Now, Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva in Aruch Chaim Siman Kuf quotes Rishonim who discuss what the reason for the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKohen is. You know, the Mishnah tells us that you're not supposed to say Al Kan Tzipor Yagiu Rachamecha. It makes it sound like you're not supposed to say that it's because Hashem has Rachmanus, but Chassam Sofer writes Shalonis Achzer Lakor Eim Albanim. It's that we shouldn't be cruel. The Avogav Da Asur Lomar Al Kan Tzipor Yagiu Rachamecha, even though you're not supposed to say Al Kan Tzipor Yagiu Rachamecha, V'atam Shlo Yagiu Rachamav Al Bali Chayim Kolshu L'Tzorach Adam, because Hashem is not going to have rachmanus on balei chayim at the expense of human beings. Dimkein haya asur lishchot balei chayim. Because if Hashem had rachmanus on animals, even at the expense of human beings, you wouldn't be allowed to do shechita. But we're allowed to do shechita, so if there's a benefit to a human being, you're allowed to do it. Ach, gzeirusein aleinu shlo nilmol desachsav nesakin midoseinu. But, so you're not allowed to say al-kansif yirgir rachmecha in the sense that Hashem has rachmanus even if it's at our expense, but we are allowed to say that Hashem made this mitzvah to teach us a sense of compassion. So it's somewhat ironic that she has, meaning that people in general have a problem with this mitzvah, that, oh, it's so cruel, you're sending the mother away. To the contrary, everyone agrees that if there's something that a human benefit, that human benefit outweighs animal, but I mean, not everyone, like PETA or whatever, but I'm saying, like, you know, normal people believe that human benefit outweighs animal benefits, right? So if human benefits outweigh animal benefits, and you want to have the benefit of getting these eggs, so the Torah is teaching us the most humane way to do it. And the most humane way to do it is by to teach us that sense of not being unduly cruel. But then he also quotes the Zohar, that the reason for the mitzvah is la'orer yililas ima ila'a al baneha. That to promote the crying out of the upper mother on her children also. So it sounds like it's saying that Yudavka doing something painful to the mother, right? It sounds like from the Zohar Yudavka doing something painful to the mother, and that's symbolic that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should pay attention to his children also, should be nervous about us and worried about us also. So it could be that either, you know, on the one hand, it's the most humane and nicest and kindest thing, or it could be that, no, we're dafka being a little mean, and that's good for the point. In any event, regardless of whether it's kind or cruel or whatever, it's a mitzvah, right? So if it's a meaning, assuming it's a mitzvah, so you do mitzvahs even if they're cruel, right? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you have to wipe out Amalek, you have to wipe out Amalek, even if it's not so gishmak to kill, you know, babies, right? So you have to do that. So the question is, to what extent is there a mitzvah here? First of all, is there any requirement to expend any effort to go out of your way to do the mitzvah? So the Gemara Chulin Kuflam Tesam Beis tells us, Ki yikare kan sipor lefenecha matam lomar l'vishnemar shalech t'shalach ha-se'im v'asabanim tikach lach yachal yachzor baharim u'gva'os k'dei shi'im tzakan. You might think that you should go to distant places, to mountains and to valleys, to go find yourself a bird's nest. Talmud Omar, ki yikare b'mu'ura lefenecha. No, if you happen to be walking in the forest and you see a bird's nest, good, now you have a mitzvah. But it's not telling you that you should go out of your way to do the mitzvah. The Aruch HaShulchan says, you know what this is like? Aruch HaShulchan writes, it's like Hashavas Aveda, right? If you come across an Aveda, you have a mitzvah to return the Aveda. But do you have to make it your business to run around looking for Avedos? You have to go sifting through the sand on the beach in case someone dropped an earring or something, right? Meaning to look for an Aveda in order to be able to do the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda? No, there's no such requirement. Once you encounter an Aveda, there's an Isser to turn away from it, and there's a mitzvah to pick it up and to return it. So same over here. No requirement to go out of your way. Now, I'm not sure what that would mean in our case. Meaning, is this more like a person who's already encountered it in our case, or is this like a person who would be chasing after it? So it's somewhere in between, right? Because he hasn't encountered it. This fellow hasn't even seen the nest yet, but he's been made aware of it. So now he knows it exists and he knows exactly where it exists. So is that the same? So I'm not sure. I'm not sure how to assess that. The Aruch HaShulchan adds in the brackets at the end of the paragraph, that even though a person doesn't have to run after this mitzvah, He says, Chidar writes from the Arizal, it is a big deal. You should. You don't have to, but you should. Show of hands, how many of you have done the mitzvah shluch hakan? Not so many. As in zero. Okay. Any of those hand emojis on the Zoom? No? Okay. Wow. I'm a little surprised. No? Never had an opportunity. Okay, gotta be on the lookout. Now, is there still a chiyuv if you don't want to take the babies? Now, this is a major discussion. There's a tshuva in the Chavos Yaris in the Samach Zayin where he discusses this issue, whether there's still a mitzvah if you have no interest in taking the eggs for yourself. So he brings a raya from the Gemara in Daf Kuf Mem on the base in the Chulin. The Gemara raises a safek about shnei beitzim zu al zu mahu. What if you have two eggs, one on top of the other? So the mother's hovering over the eggs, but it's really only hovering directly over the top egg. The bottom egg, the first egg is hovering over the bottom egg. So the mother's only over the top egg. So Rashi explains, the Gemara is asking, im niskavin litol tachtonim miyavim tzoyim chatzitza upatur min l'shalei cholo. Are you allowed to take the bottom egg without sending the mother away? Because you don't have a mitzvah shalach hakan, you're just going to take the bottom egg, the mother's not hovering over it. Tosus understands, iavi chatzitza, viyoch alikach hatachtonim kodim shaluach, vilo avi chatzitza, osu likach ad sheyishlach. That if it's a chatzitza, then you're allowed to take the bottom one, and if it's not a chatzitza, then you're not allowed to take the bottom one until you do the shiluach. So Rashi and Tosfos sound like they're saying that you don't have to do shiluach if you don't want the bottom, right? Meaning, because if there was a chiyuv even after taking the bottom ones, you would still have to take the top ones since the mother's still hovering over them. Meaning, the whole assumption of the Gemara's question is you're only going to take what you want. Well, why would you only take what you want? If you have a mitzvah to send away the mother, even when you don't want the eggs, you should have to take both of them, right? So you'll take the bottom one and you won't send away the mother, but then you should have to take the top one also because you have a mitzvah. So says the Chavos Yaris, what do you see? That if you're not interested in the eggs, you don't have a mitzvah, and there's no mitzvah. He then proves that the chiyuv to send away the mother is even if you don't want the babies, is based on the Gemara Daf Kuf Lamed Tesam base. Because it limits the mitzvah to a case where you encounter the nest, like we saw before, and not where you find the nest in the mountains. Now, if there was no chiyuv when you don't want the babies, what's the hava amina that you have to go to the mountains? Meaning, if I'm not interested, if when I don't want the eggs, I have no chiyuv, why does the Gemara even have to suggest, oh, you might think that you have to go find the nest somewhere? Why would I think I have to find the nest somewhere if I don't want the babies? I still don't have a mitzvah even if I did find one. So the whole assumption of the Gemara seems to be, says the Chavos Yair, that if you're not interested, then there is a mitzvah. In Rabbi Kiva Egron Shulchan Aruch, he says that the Chacham Tzvi follows the Chavos Yair, and the phrase Vesabalim Tikach is only a reshus, that you don't have to take the babies for yourself. However, Rav Chaim Kanievsky in Siach HaSadr in Kuntras HaLikutim writes that the Ran in Chulin is explicitly against Chavos Yair. The Ran writes, Shiluach miyavi mitzvah mutelos lav, harei im lo ratzu likach habanim, pater mi l'shaleach. So the Chavos Yair thinks even if you don't want the babies, you still have a mitzvah. The Ran says explicitly that no, if you don't want the babies, there's no mitzvah. And he proves that the Meiri holds that way and the Ramban holds that way. The Rabbeinu Bechai on the Torah says, She'enu chayiv b'shiluach elo k'shurot zalikach habanim. The whole mitzvah is only if you want the offspring. And that's the psak of the Chazon Ish in Yardeis and Kufay Neos Beis and of the Chasam Sofer and Archaim Simon Kuf. So many, many Gedolei Rishonim and Achronim hold that in our case there is no mitzvah. I mean, there's no way this guy's taking these little blue eggs home with him, right? He's definitely leaving there. He's going to make a kinyan and then put them right back down. He's definitely going to leave them there. So it's a machlokas whether there's any mitzvah to begin with, and it seems that there are many, many Rishonim Achronim that hold that there's no mitzvah over here. And furthermore, this is not a kan mezuman. This is a kan mezuman, rather, meaning the Gemara seems to say that if your chatzar was kona the eggs, then the nest is considered mezuman. It's not kiyikra. The mitzvah shalachan is you happen upon a random nest. But if you already own that nest, then there's no mitzvah shalachan. If you have like a bird cage in your house and the birds somehow figure out how to build a nest in there or whatever and they lay eggs, you have no mitzvah shalachan because those are your birds and they're in your property and you own them already. So how do you solve that problem? How do you can't even do the mitzvah. if you own them. So Rav Moshe in the Tshuva Yerodecha Gazim Memhei says that if you had kavana before the eggs were laid, that you don't want your chatzar to be kona, then it's not going to be kona against your will. Okay, but then you would have to have known about it before the eggs were laid. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, no. Shebizmaneinu ein sarich machshava chiyuvis lahavkir akan. No one takes these eggs nowadays. So bistama in ritzono shachatzer tiska bebeitzim. You don't have to have kavana not to be kona. No one wants to be kona. Absent this mitzvah, what would be the first thing you do if you found a bird's nest? What would be the first thing you do? You'd call an exterminator immediately. I don't want this. I'm going to be chirping outside my window. I'm not interested in that. Right? So that would be the first thing you do. So no one has any kavanah to take it. Rav Moshe also writes, Im echa tova in chains as a chus b'shvilo v'lo ratzel lezakos yesh la'amino gam l'mafreya. The guy says, I have no interest in owning this. I don't want this. We believe him, even l'mafreya, and therefore he was not kona. And memeli yachal adayin l'kai mitzvah shalach akad. Therefore, he could still do the mitzvah shalach akad. Rav Shlomo Zalman disagrees. Rav Shlomo Zalman m'chal shlomo tinyanis m'kof ozvav says that even if you don't want your chatzar to be kona for you, since it's readily available to you on your own private property, and you can choose to be kona at any time, it's still considered mezuman, and therefore there's no mitzvah. But Rav Chaim Kanievsky points out that the whole gedder of what's mezuman, what's not mezuman, is all dependent on, is it something that everyone has equal access to, or is it something that only you have access to? So let's say my backyard. My backyard is mine. Right, I have access to that. So whether I'm the owner or not, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, is irrelevant. It's that it's mezuman for me because I'm the person, and my family members, we're the ones that go in my backyard. Let's say the post can talk about the cheder madrigot. What's the cheder madrigot? I come from Israel recently. The staircase in an apartment building, the stairwell in an apartment building. So who's allowed in the staircase in an apartment building?
Everyone,
right? It's open to the public. Although, in many buildings there's a lock on the front door or a doorman and they don't just allow anybody in, but it's open to at least many, many, many people. So let's say there's a bird's nest in the cheder madrigot. So then what? Would that be called mezuman, that it's yours? So the poskim will say, no, that's a perfect mitzvah shalach akein. You're definitely allowed to do it in that situation because it's not mezuman for you. So front yard, bojitaina. I found in his front porch. It's not like an enclosed porch. Who's allowed on your front porch? Anyone who wants to knock on your door is allowed on your front porch. The Amazon delivery guy about seven times a day, right? That's open to anybody. Get off my lawn, is when they're in the backyard. Or if they hang around too long in the front yard. But if someone, I don't know, I'm not sure. Or you could say no. So if someone were to take a chair and put it down on your front porch and sit down, you'd be like, excuse me, what are you doing here, right? So I'm not sure how to look at that. Let's go to the Kibbutz Aveim issue. is there a mitzvah of Kibbutz Aveim when the parent is telling you not to do a mitzvah? So it's pretty black and white. Shulchan Aruch Yardei Sim Reish Mem Sif Tesvav based on the Gemara Mitzvah Daf Lam Beis says, Omer lo aviv lavar al divrei Torah, bein mitzvah sasei, bein mitzvah lo sasei. Shulchan Aruch Kain is? Both, right? It's both. So whether it's mitzvah sasei or mitzvah lo sasei, and you'd imagine it for sure if it's both. Va'afilu mitzvah shel divrayim, and even if it's a mitzvah midrabanan, lo yishmalo, don't listen to your parents. So right off the bat, it would seem that the parent has no right to tell you not to do that. However, one could argue, that it's either that it's not a mitzvah at all, but it's definitely not chiyuv, because you haven't encountered that nest yet. So if it's not a chiyuv and the parents tell you not to do it, is that also included in this exception to the mitzvah of Kibbutz Aveim? The parent is saying, I want you to do other mitzvahs of Maisim Tovim during that time. If a parent tells you, I don't want you to put on tefillin, you have a chiyuv to put on tefillin. But let's say you're saying, oh, I'm going to do a chesed project during Night Seder tonight. And your parent says, you should really stay in the Night Seder. Right? So is that called that you're not doing a mitzvah? So the parent says, "Don't go do shalach. Go say Tehillim for the mother of the bird mother. Instead of going to do shalach hakan." I was just talking to a rav, called me on the phone to discuss a shayla, and he told me that he once had a woman come to him She was a single woman, and she had a cat that she was very close to. And the cat died, and the woman came to the Rav with tears in her eyes, asking if the cat's neshama is in Shemayim. Rabbinics 101, how do you handle that, Shaila? Right, we don't trade for that over here. The cat's neshama in Shemayim. So this Rav did not learn in our yeshiva. We lived in a yeshiva in New Jersey. It has three initials. What's it called? B-M-G, I think it's called. Yeah. So he told me that that Hashem gave him matana at that moment, and he said, you know, Chazal tell us that Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekapeach Schar Kol Briya, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not withhold reward from any creature, even the dogs in Mitzrayim that didn't bark. So he says, I don't know exactly what it looks like, but I know, you know exactly, but I know that Hashem does not withhold. And if this cat kept you company and brought you joy, I'm sure there's something. Okay. Anyway, so what about the other exception to Kibbutz Avein? So in this case, it has nothing to do with the parent. Meaning, this doesn't affect the parent's life. So the Gemara in Yevama says that if a parent asks a Kohen child to be metameh or not to do Hashavas Aveda, the kids shouldn't listen because it's against the Torah. So the Ritva says that the Ritva writes over there that it must be that when the parent is asking to become tameh or to not do Hashavas Aveda, it's because the parent needed you for themselves, or he tameh lekvodi levasheli or something like that, or al tachzar aveda zu el basheli or shechotli. Don't do that Hashavas Aveda because I need you to run an errand for me instead of going and doing errands like Hashavas Aveda. That must be the case, because if that were not the case and the parent is just telling you, I know that I'm in Israel now and you're in America and I'm not going to see you all day, but I prefer that you not do Hashavas Aveda today. Well, that's anyway, says the Ritva, not Kibbutz Avein. The parent has no right to tell you how to live your life when it's not okay to them. The mitzvah of Kibbutz Avein is when a parent, what are the examples the Gemara gives of Kibbutz Avein? Mechabdu keitzad, right? Bechayiv keitzad. How do you do kibud lachilo to lalbisho, to get them dressed, to help them get dressed, to help them get food, to things that are acts of service to them. But says the Ritva, if it's no act of service to them whatsoever, then it's not kibud aveim. Rashi, the Ritva notes, Rashi disagrees with him. That Rashi holds, if it just makes a parent happy, that's kibud aveim, regardless of whether it affects their life whatsoever. If the parent says, I don't want you to do that, if my parent were to tell me, I would like you to wear a green tie today, and I'm not going to see my parents at all that day, I would still, says Rashi, have to wear a green tie. But the Ritva says not that way. The Ramban and the Rashba take for a davar pashut that there's no chiyuv if there's no parental benefit. How do we paskin? The Rama in Reish Mem Siv Chav Hei writes, based on the Ma'arik, Ima'av mocha b'ben lisa ezo isha sheyachvotz b'ha'ben ein sarach l'shma el'av. If you finally bring home the girl of your dreams and you tell mom, dad, this is the girl I'm going to marry, and they say, no you're not. So what's the halach in Shulchan Aruch? The Ramah says you don't have to listen to your parents. You may want to hear them out, you know, in terms of like why they think it's such an inappropriate shidduch. That's probably a good idea, but you don't have to listen to your parents. So the Gra and Sivkat Lamed Vav over there gives two explanations as to why you don't have to listen to them. And the second of those explanations is Delo Amru Ela Ma'achilo V'chulei D'Shayich Be'Avua, that it's only, the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avein is only when it's Shayich to the parents. Now, so what do we say at the end of the day? So the other night I was at a wedding, on Tuesday night I was at a wedding and I sat down at a table. I was right between Rav Simon on my left side and Rav Sabalovsky on my right side, which is like the funnest place in the world to be, because Rav Simon and Rav Sabalovsky go back a long, long way, and they love telling stories about like Morish HaKolel in 1986 or something, I don't know, and you know, it was a lot of fun, and it was fun for me because I kept asking them the same shailas out of earshot of each other, and they kept giving opposite answers. So I turned to Rav Simon, I asked him the Shaila, and Rav Simon said, just don't tell the mother that you're doing it and just do it. She's not authorized to prevent you from doing a mitzvah. A friend of mine added, you know, if your mother asks you point blank, you should say, you seem very upset by the idea. We never want to do something that upsets you. Okay, all true, right? She did seem upset. I would never want to do something that upsets you. MS. But he doesn't. Rabbi Savlovsky said, what are you talking about? Listen to the mother. Just don't do it. There's no need to do this mitzvah on a nest that's found on somebody's property. He has no interest in the eggs. What do you have to upset the mother for something like this? So they disagreed. So I don't know. I told them to do it. I said, just don't tell mom. So if you don't tell mom, you'll get the school of Arichus Yamin by doing the mitzvah. There's a detail that you need to be mafkir. I should have mentioned that I think we did mention they got to be mafkir the nest. Some posts can say you got to be mafkir in front of three people, in front of a basin of three people, at least as a luchadchila. Rabbi Savlovsky was like, what, three people? He was not, he scoffed at the idea. But be that as it may, that's what I told him to do.
What
did
Rabbi tell him to do
with the eggs? Yeah, you pick them up, you cut them, put it right back down. And then he should be mafkir them for the next person to be able to do the mitzvah. Because if the mother comes back, someone else can then do the mitzvah. As it was, there were three eggs, so three people had the opportunity to do the mitzvah even on the, well, I shouldn't say that. Meaning, you still need to wait for the mother to come back. Only one person can send the mother away at a time. But even without a second round of hefker, three people are able to do the mitzvah. The mother keeps coming back. And it did. It kept coming back. Okay, everyone have a good night, a good Shabbos. We'll see.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/try.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.